Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 17th of May. This is Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, with invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you want to get involved with the Viewpoint, if you want to talk about things that are, we're going to be looking at the situation in the UK in terms of cost of living crises with ministers. The minister being lambasted for saying people should take on more jobs or work longer hours. Let me know if you have your feelings on that. We're also going to be looking at the situation with Roe over in the States, with Roe versus Wade being overturned. I'll be asking for your thoughts on that as well. And anything else that is crossing your radar. If you want to get involved with today's shows, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's look at the main stories of morning's front pages in the UK. The Financial Times leads with the Governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey's admission that he and the bank have been unable to stop inflation hitting 10%. The Guardian picks up on his remarks as well. Their headline, Bank Chiefs Warning Over Apocalyptic Food Prices. The Telegraph has the same story, with the governor blaming external factors like the war in Ukraine. The Daily Mail quotes the governor as saying he's helpless in the face of rising prices. The Daily Star focuses on its front page on comments made to Sky News by the safeguarding minister, who suggested people struggling with the cost of living could work longer hours or change jobs. The Times says petrol firm profiteers fail to pass on duty cut as the Tories call for a crackdown on fuel prices. The Daily Mirror wants to see a windfall tax on energy firms to help ease the cost of living crisis. The Metro headlines with proud to say I'm gay, referring to Blackpool footballer Jake Daniels, who's become the first professional male player in the UK to make such an announcement. That's also on the front page of the iPaper, which draws attention to Jake's wish to inspire other Premier League stars to come out. Meanwhile, The Sun leads with the libel trial dubbed Wagatha Christie and quotes Colleen Rooney in the witness box, where she describes Rebecca Vardy's text as evil. So there you go. Looking at the front pages in Spain today to see exactly what they're saying this morning. And the main, looking at Abastair this morning, they have a picture of the border between Ceuta and Melilla opening up for the first time. Obviously, there is still a lot of coverage on the case of wiretaps listening in on telephones in Spain. Also, looking on the front, they've also got pictures of the evacuation of in Mariupol. Periódico de España has a picture of a train crash yesterday in Barcelona, and also the news that Juan Carlos I may be returning to Spain, perhaps as early as next weekend. Looking at the front of those, and the front page of La Razón has Sanchez, picture of Sanchez taking a being in a selfie and saying that it is five months since he's had a press conference, and the train crash that claimed one life yesterday is on the front page of La Razón. And they also say that Spain will not leave the financial crisis until 2023. So those are your front pages. If you want to get involved with today's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
+35 2 78 4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Good morning to Richard, who says, good morning. The safeguarding minister meant, she said, she meant work smarter, not harder, and it should be till at least 2023. Thank you for pulling me up on that one. I'm joined in the studio by Rosalind Scott-Gibb. Good morning to you, Rosalind.
Good morning, Giles. Morning, everyone.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, it has been a while.
And how are you?
Well, in spite of our world we live in.
In spite of the world we live in, exactly.
Yes, we survive one day at a time, just getting on with it, doing our best.
Looking at some of the bits and pieces coming in, I just wanted this one coming in. Sky News is just reporting 2 in 5 people have resorted to skipping meals or were thinking about doing so because of rising bills. The cost of living crisis in the UK, cost of living crisis throughout Europe seems to be hitting hard. We have news today that even Butano is hitting an all-time high as well. The orange bottles that many of us depend on the energy ministry is blaming a variety of things, but one of them being the crisis in Ukraine as well. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, Rosalind.
Well, when it comes to food, you know, I have to say I don't have a lot of sympathy, because I think people, you can live very healthily, very well, and very cheaply. Uh-huh. One can, if you avoid fast food, prepared meals, and junk food, and live on the basics. You know, potatoes, rice, pasta, vegetables.
If you're going to say 30, we can all live on 30p, like a UK government minister did the other day, then, you know.
Well, I the thing is, we have to, there's a war going on. I look at the tragedy that's going on in Ukraine, and I think, okay, if the cost of living goes up 10%, that's a small price to pay to keep my life, my house, my work, my children, my parents, and not have everybody killed around me.
Yeah, fair enough, but I mean, I'm just... Thank you, Ros.
You think these are not connected?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, when you say there's a war on, yes, I mean, there's a war in Ukraine, but, you know, it's not as if... Do you think that is having an actual effect on us? I mean, we're not involved in the war.
Well, of course, the whole food situation internationally is affected by Ukraine. They feed the world with grain. I mean, if a loaf of bread is going to become quite expensive... But we could make our own.
Right, so 952-78-4000 is the phone number. This coming in, very few people are not brassic. If people are still leasing cars, ordering Just Eat and watching Netflix, then they are not poor. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. The comments, though, yesterday from the safeguarding minister, I had no idea such a position existed, but the safeguarding minister was that, you know, people should take on extra jobs and move to better jobs. That's surely sort of ivory tower thinking from Whitehall, because Kay Burley was up in Wigan, where she's from, yesterday, and people were saying, you know, this is incredibly hard, we can't, and it's a circle, because we can't do anything else, because if we take on more jobs, that means if we have children, we have to get childcare, and therefore it's a circle that cannot be broken.
Well, this is the childcare issue is a huge problem all over the world, not just in the UK, and I agree with that. I mean, I was going to say, I'm a very work-oriented person, so I will work till I drop. So I would take on more work, but I don't think that's even necessary. You just have to be a bit more careful of spending money, that's all.
952-78-4000 is tip. Stop having children. I'm doing my bit. Don't worry about that. No problem at all. Let's have a look at some of the comments coming in this morning. 952-78-4000. The idea. To Rachel McLean, who made these comments yesterday, admitted the idea would not work for all households, but said that those were some of the way that households could protect themselves. as prices soar. Why would anybody who says they're poor be having children, and we'll come on to that a bit later on in the show, children in a looming recession? Well, you know, when some of you, when love strikes, Richard, perhaps they, you know, they just want to have their little babies. You're going to say something, Rosalind?
Well, the other thing, of course, I mean, growing up in Canada, we always wanted to work as soon. I mean, I was babysitting when I was 12. I was a very responsible 12-year-old because I wanted to, and I wanted to make my own money. But so why not send the children out to work?
That's Ruth Moggian, if you know something.
Well, no, I'm not unsympathetic, but I do feel there's ways. I mean, as I said, I worked weekends and summers when I was 16. I was so proud to be able to do this and have my own money. So what I'm saying, families with children, I mean, old enough to work, to do something. I mean, actually, I think even at 12, I was also helping my brother with paper routes.
Yeah,
the UK is not necessarily a particularly work-oriented society.
If you agree or disagree with that one, 952-78-4000. This Jess Phillips said yesterday. Jess Phillips said, as the minister who leads on domestic abuse, I wonder if the help she's talking about of £150, which will already have been spent. Hang on a second. Help with domestic abuse victim or who needs to escape. But if living alone would have spiralling food or energy costs, it's also perhaps worth mentioning how impossible it is for women to work to go to a refuge, as they normally have to pay a cost of up to £500 a week to do so. So how exactly is the minister seeking to ensure that working women can be free from when it costs so much money? We're going live to the lions. Rosalind, you have once again set the gaffer amongst the pigeons, which is always good fun. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Morning, calling live on TRE.
Fine.
Hello, caller.
It's nice to hear Ros back. However, she's just talked a load of rubbish. really, is there are points where there is no spare work?
Yes. I mean, we're saying that, you know, in the areas, in some of the areas have been hit hard by the recession. There is not a case of, you know, not, I don't want to work.
There's no scope for doing the casual bit of extra that, you know, the enterprising kid can get.
Mowing lawns.
But that's, I mean,
taking people's garbage, cleaning people's houses.
But you have to have someone who has got some spare money to pay you to mow a lawn. You're missing out a staggering, you know. There is a point where there's a black hole. People cannot see any way of getting any extra work. And I've spent time with people who've been in that situation. And just saying, just get another little bit of pin money. No.
Really, we're not talking about. Why should it come to this, Kate, that people are talking about getting extra jobs when surely, you know, and without sort of standing on my soapbox and starting to sing the Internationale, but people should be getting a decent wage for a decent job, and we need decent jobs, and it's all very well for us to say, if you don't like your job, switch it. I mean, we can't all become merchant bankers, can we?
No, I mean, it's the people who say that, and this includes Ros on this occasion, sounds like they've never been in that situation where you wander around and you look hard and there is no work, no source of income, apart from something that's highly dangerous and probably illegal.
Kate, nice to talk to you too. Are you talking about a particular part of England?
No, I'm just saying that I'm just saying that this is really much bigger than your comments.
Well, Kate, it's not. What about people in India? I mean, everything is relative in life.
Yes,
I'm not sure people have to starve in the UK. in comparison to somewhere like India,
and
Afghanistan.
This is where we're disagreeing, because the stories coming out are that people are choosing between heat and food.
We're talking about...
And having to do that.
And talking about...
And this
the
is
week.
The first time in my lifetime that that's been the case.
Kate, what about food banks? Come on, this the British are so good about charities.
Surely we should not have to be relying...
There's a limit on
them. Well, we have food banks here in Marbella, local people. They're queued up twice a week. I see them.
I think the point is that the situation has gotten so much worse than about 12 months ago.
Kate,
it's got really bad.
We're in a war. I mean, okay, we are indirectly in a war, but we...
No, we're not.
Well, we're getting the side effects from it. We are. Europe is.
The point is, there is, and this is the fundamental problem, in the banking crisis of the banking crisis of 2008, it was permitted by governments that the unfair distribution of money, where a small proportion of the population pocketed the goodies, and the majority did not, and we're still in that, and we're in the fallout of that. In that needs sorting, and I think I can quote you. I won't do it at the moment.
Well, okay, point I agree with 100%. In fact, there's the wealth of the world is in less than 3% of the population. That is getting worse. That is definitely not improving.
And it will keep getting worse until it gets controlled. And that's political control. And this is where politicians should be doing their best. Unfortunately, in Britain, they've voted in the wrong sort of politicians. There's jokes in that.
Indeed.
But I'll leave it there.
Kate, thank you very much for your call.
Nice to hear from you, Kate.
If you want to get... we've got Rosalind back in the studio. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps coming in the meme. Oh, absolutely brilliant. Richard has sent me a meme, and I know I can't. But if you remember the famous photograph of President Trump, who I know is obviously ex-President Trump, excuse me. Oh, no, we refer to Americans as President Trump. And it's the one where there's that small child mowing the lawn and he seems to be shouting at him. And Richard's put, "Are you enjoying your second job?" That's going to win the internet today. But in the meantime, this in from The Guardian. Thank you for letting me know this one. Inflation now forcing UK schools to cut meal portions or quality, says food firm boss. Love strikes. I'm talking about people who would have more children during a recession. And I said love strikes because obviously, you know, I was going to say Valentine's Day has been and gone. But anyway, lust old boy has been the reply from that one. No spur work. Now, this is nonsense. The number of job vacancies in February to April 2022 rose to a new record of 1,295,000, an increase of 33,700 from the previous quarter, and an increase of just under 500,000 from the pre-coronavirus, COVID-19, BC as I call it, pandemic level in January to March 2020. Many people, says one, are feckless and lazy, which is ironic given the feckless is a good word for today, which is ironic given that there are so many food cookery programs on TV. You think they'd know how to make a meal by now. right then. Here's another one. In absolutely gobsmacked by Ross. Does she know that utility bills in the UK have gone up more than 50% per month? How are ordinary people supposed to deal with, in my case, £100 plus per month? Food is more expensive due to Brexit, and most are working at least two jobs. Also, this coming in as well, Ros. Good morning. I'm afraid Rosalind isn't taking into consideration that some of those people in the UK can't afford to use their kitchen gas stroke electricity. How are they supposed to cook, make bread? Flour is made from wheat, so it's the same issue for people with no money. And it's coming in as well. Ordinary people can use less energy and wear a jumper when cold. Or they could get on one of the Boris's buses, couldn't they, and go around and round London for the whole day. We've come to this. We have come to the stage, Ros, where we have food banks. This is not supposed to how it's supposed to be in the 21st century, for goodness sake.
It's okay to have food banks.
No, it's not okay to have
food banks. Are a good idea.
No, it's not.
That helps the people.
But we should have a welfare system that looks after the needy. Not food banks. It's a charity thing.
It's all relative. Look at the Americans have even less welfare. Okay, we won't talk about that right now.
No, not right now.
But I believe we can still eat healthily on a minimum budget. Now, as far as heating and, you know, I mean, people complain here about the cost of their bills. They say, the air conditioning is costing me a fortune. I say, why don't you have fans instead of air conditioning? I'm sorry if I seem unsympathetic, but I also, throughout my life, because I choose the work I love instead of being paid big money, I've always lived on a very small income. And now I have particular sympathy for women with children.
Right.
Because the cost of childcare. Okay, if the children can be in school, that's one thing. But during the pandemic was horrendous. It's been very difficult for everyone.
9527 8000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Quickie.
Yes.
Food banks are not good. They're a brilliant idea in emergencies. This is a sign of how bad, if you like, if in apocalyptic terms, the Western society has got. The social services system in the 1970s, I can remember reading recently some bloke saying, you know, okay, you got social security, you got the dole, but you had some dignity. You could go and have a pint a week and not, you know, not spend all your time drinking, but at least there was this scope. Now they've particularly the tourism, particularly since Thatcher, have shrunk back the level of support for ordinary people. That's the problem.
Thank you for the call in, Kate. Nice one. I just got another call coming in, Ros, before you set off the internet once again. So let's go for this one. 9527 8000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene in Calpe.
Morning, Marlene.
Now, I'm interested, of course, because I've been interested in this, what's been happening. Very interesting. But, Ross, don't you understand? You're in a good position, obviously, by the way you talk. You're all right, like I am. I can, you know, pull back a bit, and I can do that, and I'm glad that I'm in that position. But I do realise that all people are not like me. I mean, I can cook, and I've always been able to cook and that, but you don't seem to understand. You're not looking into people's lives. You're just really looking at it. Well, I'm all right. You know you're all right, and say you're all right, and say I'm glad I'm all right, and that you can deal with it. But you have to understand a lot of people are not in our position, especially with people with children and things. We must look at it as women and as people to look at other people's lives and know that they can't. That they're stuck in a very bad way with work and all what's happening. And we must have a little bit of sympathy. And I do agree, why should we have these banks for food? Maybe a little bit, that's always a good idea. But it's getting out of hand. It's finding out that everybody's having to go. And also, I'm not interested in talking about India or the States or anybody. We're not in the States. We're in Europe, and we're talking about England, and we're talking about, well, probably my Spain. Okay? But that's all I can say to you, Ross. have a little bit of humility. Will you please?
Thank you, Molly. Good to hear from you. Ros?
I've always done a lot of welfare work. And I've also worked my whole life, as I said at the very beginning. And it's not that I'm not sympathetic, but I'm pragmatic that there's ways around this. We can still live a healthy, happy life difficult circumstances.
Here's another healthy, happy person calling in. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning,
I'm fortunate
Sharon.
Enough to be able to be healthy and happy, or reasonably healthy. I've got other issues, but I can't believe Ross is saying this. I really can't. UK has the biggest gap between the richest and the poorest, which was exacerbated by the banking criminality that we saw in the early 2000s. We never really got over that. We had a Conservative government in after 2010 who, again, refused to help people through, as the PP did in Spain, refused to help people through this crisis. The quality of food, you try, Ross, you try going out and doing three jobs. I've just come home to make the kids a sandwich because I can't afford school meals or whatever, because don't forget they have to pay for school meals. The school meals are starting to cut back on. What worries me is that cutting back on portion sizes is probably a good idea in the UK with the obesity problem, but they're going to be cutting back on nutrition. The food these days is not nutritious. It's mass farming that we've had in the last 30, 40 years. To get organic food now, or you can get it, but it's not easy. And so I've just dashed home to get a sandwich for lunch, and I've got to be back by 2. I'm home again at 4, and I've got to be back again by five, for my third job. Oh, and by the way, I do an evening job at late. I'll just about be home in time after the children have been put to bed by a friend or my partner, if I'm lucky enough to have a partner. Don't have children? Well, the population in the Western world is going down. Haven't got enough young people. And for this government to turn round and say, just put a jumper on, just do this, just do that. These houses here in Spain in the winter, they're bloody cold. And however much heating you put on, I have a circulation problem. I have to have it a warm environment in the winter. And I do see, especially for circulation problems, but I just think elderly people, to struggle to keep warm, it's not on. We get the lowest pension in Europe, one of the lowest state pensions in Europe. We have one of the lowest benefit systems in Europe, and I'm not for benefits, but over the top benefits. But the best, happiest countries are those that look after their people. I say well done to Marlene because I totally agree with her as usual, and. So we're up with, and I think also, yes, there's a war on. It's affecting flour production and all that sort of thing. But I suspect, from what I heard from the monetary policy people last night, and from what I heard from the Bank of England, previous people who worked for the Bank of England last night, that Brexit is now being responsible for exacerbating the situation. So the UK not only has some of these huge gaps, some of the lowest support agencies, it also has Brexit, which is being responsible for some of the. I know people are going to phone and say, "I've never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life." Brexit is exacerbating the situation with accessibility to various. Services and single markets and things. So it's a whole caboodle, a whole mix of some unfortunate circumstances and some circumstances being created and exacerbated by this government. I don't understand. We have the biggest gap. I'm saying it again, Ros. We have the biggest gap between the rich and the poor in the Western world, apart from America. And do you really want us to end up with it like America? By the way, they're also very slowly selling off the health service. Instead of this is one final point. Instead of us taking out a European-type insurance system, we're going down the American road with nearly everything. So there soon won't be a health system for the poor to access, because they're doing it behind everybody's backs and people aren't fully aware of what's going on. The doctors' surgeries now are all private companies. There's so much going on in the background with this awful, awful government. I really don't see how you can... If you're not seeing the big picture, you can't have a view on it, really. So I can't... I'm surprised at your lack of compassion. And that's the food banks. Food banks, well, they were only ever meant to fill a gap. They were never meant to be the mainstay of people's diets and things. The quality of the food is rubbish these days. It's very hard to access good food. A lot of the food they'll get in a food bank is probably okay, but they can't afford to heat anything. So I don't know what Ross has to say to all this, but that's my opinion anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that point. We're going to come back to those points after this break.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, and very lively today. Joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott Gibb. If you want to get involved with today's show and get your viewpoint across.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Joining the studio by Roslyn Scott Gibb. Roslyn.
Well, Brexit. If anybody's surprised at the effects of Brexit, they shouldn't be. That's part of what the problem is in the UK at the moment, is Brexit, absolutely. The other thing is, if you want to live like the Scandinavian countries where you really are looked after, good health care, I mean, it's going down a bit now because they've accepted, but the 50% income tax, and then you're looked after and you're not going to starve to death or anything else. But the UK has a fairly reasonable tax system, one of the lowest, I think, in the UK. And as for Boris, well, of course, he hasn't helped the situation, the economic situation at all. And that's part of the problem as well. He and his government, I agree.
Looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in, if you want to get involved with today's show, if you agree or disagree or just want to have another something or grumble, you can WhatsApp me +34 645 99 67 95. Looking at this. Richard, good morning. Right, today the rapid acceleration of inflation has sent the misery index, I never knew there was such a thing as a misery index, to its highest level since at least the global financial crisis. No, it's not me when I'm on the radio. Reflecting the rising cost of living across the Western world. What's more, spikes in the index usually coincide with recessions. Also, food banks are a Brexit opportunity, Giles. They're not being used in emergencies, so please keep up the way that you talk. Marlene, you need to question why they are not in a better position, given the UK likes to pretend it's the fifth richest nation in the world, and with all the free educational opportunities there are. Looking at... Ukraine only produces, and another one coming in, Ukraine only produces 3.2% of global wheat, and in Russia it's 14.5%, and loads of opinions, not much in actual facts. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, Ross is quite right. There you go, Rosalind. There are many ways to make money go further, says this WhatsApp, but the vast difference in wealth between the top and the bottom of society is a large part of the problem. Half the UK are very wealthy, and the rest are living on the crumbs. As in the US southern border, with thousands of immigrants who are desperate to work, the UK should organise them so they could be allowed to fill the employment vacancies instead of exporting them back to Africa. We need those immigrants. That's from Ian in Surrey.
Good. Yeah, somebody made two comments and then just deleted them because I think they were having apoplectic shock. Define very wealthy comes back somebody else. Meanwhile, food banks should be an emergency measure, not a permanent necessity. Sweden's average local tax rate is 32.34%. I'm going live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. Let's talk about the real reason for inflation, because regardless of what Rosalind's saying there about the war, the effects of the war are not being felt and won't be felt for a little while yet. But back in 07, when the economy tanked, and it's been horrendous ever since, but it's a finger in the dike job. I've done how many times I've said this is coming, and now it's here. And we're going to get 70-style stagflation. I don't know about hyperinflation, but I think we'll get stagflation. People will be losing their jobs, and interest rates will be rising, and the cost of living will be rising. And when they talk about it's 3, 4, 5% here, at 7%, 10%, during COVID, my partner lost her job. She now works from home, and I was promoted to chief shopper. So I do all the shopping now, and we shop for fresh foods, and I go out virtually every day, and I come back with a bit of shopping. Now, things like butter, cream, that sort of thing, is doubled in price, and it's literally going up by the week. The butter I used to buy was $1.15, and I've watched it go up 10, 15 cents almost every shop, and it's now at $2.05. That's a 100% increase. And in a recession is two quarters of negative GDP, which in the States we are running at less than zero, and last quarter was, 1.4. So recession is here. Now, anyone who understands the finances of this world in the slightest bit knows that everything's cyclical, and it's normally on a 7-year cycle, and you raise interest rates to get rid of inflation, and you decrease interest rates to boost the economy. Now, they have never, the powers that be, the central banks, have never, ever been able to get interest rates back to where they were once they started to reduce them. So we've got two scenarios brewing here. One, hyperinflation with massive interest rates back like when I first bought my first house when I was 18, when they were 16, 17% just before Thatcher came in power, or they can't get them back to the 4, 5, 6, 7% where we were, which means a horrendous tank in the economy around the world, which is what's happening now. Now, Rosalind wants to blame the war. We don't even start planting grain until the spring, and it's certainly not harvest until after the summer. So the grain situation won't be a problem for another 18 months down the line. But as Rosalind said, it will be horrendous. But when Biden first came into office, the first thing he started to do was print money. But actually, before he did that, the first thing he did was to shut down an oil pipeline. He still hasn't opened it, and he laid off thousands or hundreds of thousands of oil workers. So we have an energy crisis at the moment. We have globalization. Everybody depended on China for everything. China is tanking. The world has printed so much money, it's awash with the stuff. We've got massive inflation coming down the line. Far, far worse than it's we've ever seen it, I think, in anyone's lifetime. We're going back to the 1930s, I believe. And I don't see how people don't see that. But Rosalind has stood on her soapbox promoting Biden for so long, and yet now he's come in and absolutely destroyed the world's economy. And it's basically down to the European Union doing exactly the same as what America did, was zero interest rates or minus zero, creating billions and billions of dollars, euros, pounds, you call it whatever you want, washed into the economy. And when COVID came along, they shut down the economy, every factory, every manufacturer. So we have a supply issue. When they had the demand, they didn't have the supply. Now the demand is going away. We've got no supplies. Factories are not firing up or haven't fired up. We have most things are used by oil and gas. So everything that's getting manufactured has been shut down for 2-3 years.
Getting some comments in on your
pumping.
This is coming in from Richard. I'll remind Peter that Eurozone interest rates are currently at 0%. Switzerland is minus 0.75. China is slowing down, not
What's
tanking. I'm just reading off what he's sending through. He said earlier they never to get interest rates back to levels pre 08-09 crisis.
But I don't get what his point is. I know what interest rates are low, and my point is they should have acted a lot sooner. Interest rates should have risen, but they didn't. And we're in a crisis now, an inflationary crisis, and yet still interest rates are horrendously low. They need to go up, and they need to go up fast. But if they take them up as fast as they should do, the world's economy will be in a far worse sight than it is now. It's bad enough, but they're going to create an even worse problem. Layoffs, everything, people losing their jobs. I don't get what his point is. I know what the interest rates are, for sure. And when interest rates are low,
yep,
and you need to create money, the way you do it is through the stock market. So what everybody, when people like Sharon and the saying about the bankers around the world, people have been making money hand over fist because they're licensed to make it. They know exactly how the Fed is going to operate, and all they do is copy it. And so I think it was Richard that mentioned that the misery index is the VIX, the volatility index. Mm. Of course the volatility index is high because people are running scared. They know what's coming. Interest rates have to rise. Now, when you put interest rates up, if you get by then American 10-year bonds or gilts or anywhere from the Federal Reserve, when they start going 3%, 4%, 5%, all your insurance companies, all your big investors all go to there. It's guaranteed money. It's safe. So what happens then? Where do they get the money to invest in that? They take it out the stock market. The stock market crashes. People who thought they had money because they had money in the stock market don't. These are so-called, what Rosalind says, wealthy people. People now are living on $2,000 coming into the family, $2,000-$3,000 a week, and they can barely pay their mortgages.
Mm.
And these mortgages at 1%. 1%. When they're 4%, your mortgage is going to quadruple. You're just going to hand the keys back. People in these balloon payments of their cars, they don't own cars anymore. They finance cars.
Yeah.
All the big car companies are finance companies.
Yeah.
When those cars start dropping like a stone, then people have a debt that's higher than their car's worth, they'll hand the keys back.
Yeah.
This is going to go... We've not even seen the light of day yet of what is coming down the line. And it's a lot worse. And as I said, the Ukraine war has not even touched on it yet, but it will do.
Thanks very much for your call in there. 952-784-4000.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, going straight to the phones. Be with you in a minute, Ross. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Alf.
Ah, morning, Alf.
It's always fascinating to listen to these people about the high finance stuff. I don't profess to be anywhere near what they're talking about. I understand it, and I really enjoy it when John and Peter and Richard come in with all this stuff. But for normal Joe blokes, it's too much for them. They want to talk about and they want to deal with normal things that they understand. People understand. And to Roz, there were no food banks in the UK when I was growing up. We had soup kitchens, yeah, but they were for destitute, usually blokes who were usually alcoholics or tramps, as we used to call them. They were for what we used to call the down and outs. They weren't designed to keep families going. That didn't happen until, you know, the 2000s, when we had the finance problems in the UK and people then started struggling. And if you actually, I was watching this morning, you know, the Kate, I'm not a lover of Kay Burley, but she's doing this thing in Wigan, and they were talking to a guy and a woman. They're in their obviously late 70s, and the guy is actually sitting there, the word of both of them are sitting there saying, we've lived through two winters, we're living on effectively one meal a day. They live in one room because they can't afford it. Their boiler went wrong, so they can't afford to have their boiler repaired. And this bloke and woman in this day and age sat there and said, we don't think we can get through another winter. That's just appalling in a country like Britain. And I don't care what people say. It's not for once, I won't blame social services. But there's got to be a safety net somewhere in a society that has great... And I say, you know, we put a lot of money into social care in the UK, lots and lots of money. But it's just failing everywhere. And I'm not even into you. I've listened to my mate saying we should have a windfall tax on... energy, etc., etc. All everybody's trying to do, though, is where do we find the money? And it's not John or Richard's or Peter's print more money. This is where do we find the real money in order to reinvest into Britain, to stop going back to what I understand. You know, it was the 1930s. You know, I lived the after effects of the Second World War. I wasn't born until 52, but you know, there was still food rationing going on when my parents were doing stuff after the war. We don't want to go back to those days. And I tell you what we don't want to go back to, Roz. We don't want to go back to the days where we had to go cap in hand to the landowner to say, can we have some medicine? Can we have education? Can we have some food? You know, we're not into that. This is a modern era, and nobody should be going cap in hand saying, we need. And about jobs, I went to Norway many years ago, and everybody there had three jobs. They all smoked like troopers. They were having what they thought was a good life. Everything was expensive. And they turned their economy around because they ended up with this isn't about socialism, but they had a socialistic system, i.e., people accepted that you're there to look after everybody, because if you look after everybody, the country grows. A happy country will grow. And that's what we're not seeing in the UK. We are seeing this massive divide between the very rich and the very poor, and everybody else in the middle, the people who used to be the, you know, affluent people of the UK, were people like me. I mean, I didn't have a seriously important job, a well-paid job, but it was enough for me to buy a car, to have washing machines, to have electricity. We never worried about putting food on the table. All right, it may be a different quality food, but we didn't have to worry about it. And now that's changed, because people who do jobs like what I did are now struggling, and they are having to do a second and a third job. We used to think it was a joke. People went and joined the fire service because they always knew they could get a second job. Always. Yep. So I think sometimes, you know, with Roz, no disrespect to you, mate, you're Canadian, you don't understand the English background, and you don't understand the English history of where we've come from and why it's wrong. Why food banks are so wrong is because the social society in the UK were never prepared to see families going into destitution and then bung them a few quid with free food.
Got another call back later. I've got another call coming in, but thanks very much for that. 952 78 4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where you're calling from, what's your viewpoint?
Good morning, my friend. It's Sweco Bert here, listening to you. Your program is sort of changing, and one voice most of the time, and they're not talking about things was really going on and creating these problems we have. Look, in the Black Sea is a NATO navy from 30 countries, and in the Baltic the same 30 countries navy exercising.
Yes.
And 39 Swedish fighter jets in the air to 24 hours a day for a long time, and they are Russian landing troop transport landing craft, cruising around.
Got a minute to go.
East and west coast of Sweden. And how it's going there in Ukraine. So it's a little bit diffused all the time, but. It's a little bit now like during the Second World War in England, when you had a weather report, they said the English Channel today, fog, the continent is isolated. You just go on and on and on about if the fishing ships are going up in price there in England. I mean, you have a lot of listeners, and I closed my radio several times today. I turned it on again.
You
don't have opinion. Opinion's going to last just a little while, and then somebody else going to come in. Not not one person taking up the whole program. He's hijacking the program.
He's hijacking the program. No, he's hijacking. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very, very much indeed. And there you go. And that's our Swedish culture attaché, Rosalind.
Okay, just a few things. One, thank you, Alf. Actually, Alf, I come from a long line of Scottish and English family. I was born in Scotland, and I have a British passport, although I happen to be educated in Canada. Now, the other thing is, I'm not necessarily pro-President Biden, but I felt he had to be better than Trump. And a lot of the problems we have today are as a result of Trump. And a lot of the problems are COVID-related now that we're still getting back to dealing with.
Russ, the bongos are sounding, which can connect to the national and international news.
I think women are very resourceful, and women are dealing with this situation.
We've got a second half of Viewpoint coming up. It should be live. It should be lively. See you after the national and international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. My name is Meyer. I'm calling you from Marbella.
Good morning to you. How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad at all, thank you. It's actually with regard to rising prices, inflation, which we seem to have between the UK, Europe, and the United States, between, let's say, 8 and 10%. This is the reported figure at present, yeah? Would you be interested to know that Japan, a country that is wholly dependent upon imports of oil and other, has no literally no raw materials, has an inflation rate of 1.2%.
Okay. Would you also
be interested to know that Switzerland has an inflation rate of 2.5%, again, a country that's wholly dependent upon imports. And would you really like to know the reason why?
I'm sure you're about to tell me.
I am indeed. Basically, it's all to do with quantitative easing, printing money.
Yeah.
Basically, asset purchases. Japan purchased something like, in quantitative easing terms, 17%. The US, I believe, was 110% of GDP, and the UK was 100%. I think Europe was somewhere around 80-odd percent. This is the reason for inflation, nothing else. Yep. We know that fuel prices have risen because of the Ukraine crisis, etc., but not to the extent that we are suffering, not to the extent we are suffering at all. This is the reason. But unfortunately, the governments aren't prepared to admit it, and they never took action to deal with it.
So what do you think? What do you think then is the solution to the situation that we find ourselves in at the present moment?
The solution is that the quantitative easing, printing of money, has absolutely got to come to a full stop, an absolute full stop. We carry on like this, and we are just basically devaluing our currencies. You know, the United States currency is riding reasonably high. Why? Despite it having a higher inflation rate than the Eurozone, it's seen as a safe haven. In times of conflict, the dollar is always seen as a safe haven. That's the only reason. If it wasn't for the war in Ukraine, I don't think the dollar would be as high as it is. I think it would probably have fallen quite considerably. But there you go. This is the price we pay for printing money.
Thank you very much for your call in. Good to hear from you. And please feel free to call back again. Thanks very much for the call in.
Pleasure. Bye.
952-78-4000. In fact, I'll give you the full numbers now, which are as follows.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's go to, good morning to Dee. Let's go to this one in. Hello, hi there. Ask Roz how the 62-year-old grandmother who looks after her two grandsons, she pays for her new electric bill. Previously, her bill was £120 monthly direct debits to £4,000 a month plus. Really? The electric companies are massively increasing the cost, far greater than the 54% stated previously. Stay safe. Take care. Also, this, Ross, this coming in as well. This coming in as well. I got my coffee too quickly. That's not the reason, but printing money, quantitative easing has been happening for 15 years. We've not had 15 years of inflationary pressure. Meanwhile, let's have a look. If interest rates are raised quickly, then you create other monetary issues. Stock market levels have nothing to do with GDP. It does not equate to wealth. Most of the FTSE 100 constituents are companies that make their money outside the UK. And also, talking about car leasing, they hire rather than they have the option to purchase. The UK needs to close the loopholes if you want real money and all the money outflows from the rich. The UK is a tiny, insignificant crag off mainland Europe, specializing in tax avoidance and money laundering for the super rich. Thank you and good night. Meanwhile, why is the grandmother looking after her grandkids? Probably because the mother is out working. Meanwhile, John in Mijas, can you thank Peter? I'm losing the will to live. Okay. Good to have you with us as well. Sounds like a good year to start my... No, it's not for me. Your lady guest, while sounding... That's you, Ross. Your lady guest, while sounding extreme, makes a good point. The war in Ukraine will push up food costs and the cost of living, but we are not being shot in the back of the head, being raped, having our houses destroyed. We can end the cost of living crisis by stopping sending weapons to Ukraine and letting the Russians take over completely. This, though, will only reinforce Putin's belief, and he will then take over more countries, suffering hardship with cost now to keep your freedom against losing all. Okay, I'm not... I don't know what to say to that one. Meanwhile, so much moaning. I'm guessing most of the contributors are expats living here in Spain. It's a lovely country with lovely people. I'm in my mid-70s, an ex-working-class Brit. I live solo. I'm eternally grateful for my small British pension and have been around a fair bit over the course of my life. Just listening for a short while this morning, it seems to me that the real problem is that too many people are unhappy. Figure out what you want, material goods or happiness, or at least contentedness. Try and be thankful for what you have, folks. Try and help someone in need if you can, and stop, above all, stop moaning. Thanks very much for that. If you want to get in touch with me about that one, then here you go.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952-78-4000 is the phone number if you want to get involved with today's viewpoint. Ross, you want to come back on any of those points that were made? I mean, you seem to have done a real Marmite this morning. Half of people saying, you know, you're right. You know, a lot of people getting very upset about the food bank situations. Alf said, you know, they were soup kitchens used by destitutes. And sorry, never been a fan of parents abusing their own parents to have free childcare. There you go. That was a good comment just come in. But do you think that we should, the whole food bank situation, the fact that, I mean, a lot of people say, I'm just looking at, you know, on the big screen TV we have here, 4 out of 5 people in the UK are worried about how they're going to make the cost of living crisis, how they're going to make ends meet. You know, the safeguarding minister, you know, somebody's just sent me a picture of Paris Hilton, the well-known pointless heiress, with the, you know, wearing a T-shirt saying, "Stop being poor." I mean, you know, people finding themselves in difficult situations, Roz. You know,
well, the thing is, we are going to... We're definitely moving into a recession. There's no doubt about that. And I'm really... I agree with the last person that you were reading about, that we we have to try to be positive. I mean, I'm sorry, but we have to just be positive. I just want to repeat a few...
Contentedness rather than happiness.
Well, accept the way you are and deal with it as best you can. Now, I just want to correct a few... The person that wrote in that the Ukraine gives 3% of world wheat, it's not. In 2021, it was 10%. At the moment, it's 7% of the world, and they're sixth largest exporter of wheat in the world. And that is going to be a huge problem because Russia's stopping it from leaving the ports and everything. But there's things we can do. And the thing is, the UK is one of the largest charities. And, I mean, I see it here. People don't believe that there's people who don't have enough food in Marbella, and there's queues there twice a week. Food is given to them, good, healthy food. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you need it, you can have it. And the same is true in the UK. But we can eat healthier, and we've been eating disgustingly poorly for two generations, and that's why we have the obesity problem.
9527 8000. We go live to the lines. Morning, Coolio, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, everyone. Raymond from Mallorca.
Good morning, Raymond.
Right. Okay, my viewpoint, the first one, or I've got a couple. The first one is, my opinion is greed has taken over. We've entered an era of greed where it's not regulated. It's gone completely out of control. BP announced... profits of the first quarter of this year are fourfold. I mean, you know, there is no excuse for this. They're using the Ukraine war and the COVID-19 as an excuse to put up prices, okay? Not everything we consume comes from the Ukraine. Everything's going up in price. But as I say, most of the things are not coming from the Ukraine. It's just simply an excuse. It seems to be totally out of control. Greed has taken over. There's nobody is thinking about the future. I think it's because subconsciously, a lot of people in the world, and you know, big organisations, wealthy business people, and people in general, if they think about it, they can't see a future. This is possibly the end, as some Christians would say. It's the beginning of the end times. And another thing is. Just a constructive criticism, please. We can't get everything right, yeah? What I try to do is, if I pass comment on statistics, percentages, facts and figures, etc., I try to do research, and I have to the best of my ability, I like to say it's correct, yeah? And it's not always the case, is it? I spent extra, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm letting you speak, Raymond, I'm letting you speak.
Okay, thank you. I spent 15 years living in Norway. I've mentioned this before. I integrated fully. The ex-wife's Norwegian. I'm fluent in the language, really fluent, and I know it inside out. And I know that nobody I knew, and I was there from 1975 to 1990, nobody I knew had three jobs. They weren't a national... they didn't smoke like troopers. They were very fit people. It's also been said before on this programme that there's not a common border between Norway and Russia. There is. It's in the north of the country. Yep. It's the county of Finnmark borders Russia. There was no crime. Well, I'm sure the Norwegians would love to hear that, because when I was there, and it hasn't changed, there was a heroin epidemic in Oslo. Okay, really bad. And it's, I know children of friends who are addicted to the stuff. It's really bad. So there's a lot of breaking and entering to steal possessions, to steal people's possessions, to sell them for drugs, yeah? That goes on. There's increased violence and rape since the large numbers of immigrants have come in. So there is crime. It's not a perfect society. And why Norway is wealthy, there's one simple reason. It is because oil was discovered underneath the seabed of the North Sea. Oil was discovered in the 1970s by Phillips Petroleum of America. That's what happened. And that is the source of Norway's wealth. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks very much for that one, Roz.
Well, one point about the oil that was discovered, it's not only that the oil was discovered, but that Norway has consistently saved a proportion of the money earned from that oil every year. And that's why they're rich.
I believe it's, isn't it national, Norway's National Day today as well, I think. Something.
Oh, it is.
So yes. Happy Norwegian Day. Yes. Thank you for your call in, Raymond. Good to have you with us. North Sea oil was discovered in 1859. Okay, thanks for that one. Meanwhile, Ukraine is the second highest exporter, but a fairly mediocre producer. 10th in the world. I never know we had such a load of experts on grain tables. It's particularly to Africa and other poorer regions much more than it consumes. Meanwhile, just looking at some of the other bits and pieces coming in. I go live to the lines again. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Alf.
Hi, Alf.
I don't know who the guy was. Was he from Mallorca?
Raymond in Mallorca.
The Norway guy.
Raymond from Mallorca.
Okay. Well, I think it was either 87 or 88, I had the privilege of being part of a delegation from Britain to Norway to a conference. So obviously it was trade unionists, and everybody wants to talk about the issues of the day. It was in a place called Holgersund, which is next door to, and it's not the North Sea oil that Norway make all their money from today. It's because the agreement is that everything from the North Sea goes through a hub in Norway. So all of the oil and all of the gas goes through one terminal in Norway, and they then distribute it on to other countries, and they do all the charging. So Norway get a huge income from all the rest of the countries in Europe who buy North Sea oil and gas. It is also where they take probably a third of the North Sea oil rigs for maintenance work. So it's a huge, and it's a little weeny fishing village, but it's huge for the economy of Norway. And I can assure him that all of the people who were there, and their telephone people, it was Norsk Telegenestforbund, which is the Norway telephone company union, and they're not going to lie to me. They're not going to make things up to me. They know what we're talking about. And we were there just at the time that BT was being privatised by Thatcher. And they assured me they do 2/3, and their third job is always under the wire, and quite often it was taxi driving of a night. And that's how they survived. And they did smoke. Like, I smoked at the time, but I can absolutely assure they smoked.
It was
like
70, everybody smoked.
All roll-ups.
Roll-ups, yeah.
You know, it's not something you miss. So, you know, please don't try to belittle other people who have... Mine, and I don't... You know, I very rarely quote statistics unless they're political, and I've got them in front of me, because statistics are made up figures for whatever people want to believe. But, you know, the reality is, and I will say, you know, again, no disrespect to Rosalind. You may have a British passport. You may have family that were in Britain, but you never experienced food kitchens, which were different. They were usually caravans on the side of the road. They weren't buildings. It was only when the issue of Centrepoint came up that we saw the first of the have a home for the night, have a bed for the night, indoors. But, you know, I come from the East End of London. Aldgate was, you know, the church in Aldgate, which was a run-down, closed church, was the place for dossers, as we called them. I knew no better then. Now I do know better.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time. You know, modern people who are suffering need help. We run, in the UK, a society that's based on socialistic principles. We like to help others. It's not because we're a charitable country. It's because we believe that if you pull up the lowest, it pushes up the highest. Unfortunately, it's when the highest get too high that they forget there are people at the bottom, and they're not pulling up anymore. They're pushing down on them, you know. And all this rubbish about, oh, look at how many jobs we've got, and you go, really? I see how many zero-hour contract jobs that I have, how many low-pay jobs. And for the guy that rings in and says, oh, I take too much time, I can't help being passionate about where I come from, and I can't help being passionate about people telling the truth about what happens. Britain isn't, you know, if you down on normal jobs in normal Britain, people are struggling. I've never seen it in my lifetime, and I went through two lots of depression times in the UK, and they weren't particularly clever, but I've never seen it as bad as this, ever.
I mean, Bank of England governor saying that we're in for apocalyptic food prices yesterday, so that's got to be quite worrying for people out there.
Especially as he's a Tory appointed thing. It's not the old director, the old chief executive who Gordon Brown put in there. So you know that if he's saying that, that's a guy pointing a cannon at the people that appointed him to say, you appointed me, listen to what I'm saying. I don't think he thinks they're listening.
Alf, what percentage of the problem in the UK today is a result of Brexit?
Well, I wouldn't know because I don't live there, Roz. There will be a level of Brexit. I mean, I can only tell you how Brexit affects me here and the silly things that are happening.
And COVID.
Bought anything from Amazon.
I mean, isn't it a combination of the after effects of COVID, Brexit, and poor government
Boris? Don't bring the COVID stuff in, because they managed to find lots of money, and they were always going to find lots of money to deal with the COVID issue. That's nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but people couldn't work. Women couldn't work.
No, this was all starting.
They had to stay home with the children who couldn't go to school.
Say that again?
Of course it had an effect, COVID, because women had to stay home and look after the children who couldn't go to school.
And retain 7/8 of their pay. You know, don't belittle it to no income. These were people who stayed. Listen, I was a trade union official and we used to negotiate that. Gardening leave, we used to call it. You can't go to work, but we can't pay you your full pay, but we want to keep you on contract. So you give people enough money. All you had to do was remove the money that would have cost them to get to work and back home from work. That's what people lost if they were working people and who were on whatever they called that thing. It was just nonsense. So people were paid to stay at home. It wasn't that they were. My kids are teachers here, and they all had to be at home because they weren't allowed to teach. But they had to work. They worked online. They taught kids online. Their own kids were online being taught. It's just, people are putting too much on this. The issues that are affecting the UK today were happening long before COVID struck. It was just, here's another, and if you want to see the example, you go back to when Theresa May was struggling with Brexit. She knew that, she was trying to negotiate something that effectively was non-negotiable. And, Johnson's position of, I'm going to get Brexit done, was to sign off an agreement that isn't an agreement. Nothing works. All this extra, never mind about the Northern Ireland protocol, just look at the lorry queues today, the lorry queues at Dover, because too much paperwork's involved. It's just, this is a whole part, and that was happening before COVID. Yes, COVID had an effect. Yes, it destroyed. And there's lots of people today who are working from home, not because they're frightened of going to work, but they found it was better for themselves to work from home.
Got some more calls coming out. So thanks very much for that. 952-784-4000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
My name's John Harper, mate.
Hello, John. How are you? Good morning to you.
Right. All of this stuff is just very, very simple, and everybody gets into all these diversions that the media and the politics put up. The globalists are trying to destroy the Western economy and as much of the world's economy as they can, because they want to collapse the fiat system, which is collapsing anyway, because they want to bring about the Great Reset, where you will own nothing, but you will be happy. And that's really what's happening. On the other side of the fence, there are a whole lot of people who'd rather like to own whatever they can or want to just get on with their life unaffected. I don't want to be ruled by a group of globalists. I don't want to be in a totalitarian state. I'm too old to be doing anything much about it now. But the fact is, there are a lot of lot of younger people out there who have woken up during this whole sham that they've been putting on. And, you know, I did it 2 years ago. I actually told exactly what was going to happen today 2 years ago, and virtually the first show we did of on radio.
Yeah, I remember. And I remember this one. I actually remember you saying this to me.
Right. I've done the whole thing before. I've been watching it for 2 years. I'm not distressed. I'm not getting involved in arguing about England's been a socialist country ever since 1948. They've had a few established, never had a Tory, real Tory government.
I'm sure that the blessed Margaret Thatcher would have something to say about that one, John, to be honest with you.
No, Maggie was in there just exactly the same way as Putin's is acting at the moment. She was in there to try and destroy what was actually a totalitarian state taking over there. The Marxists were already running up the flags. And she went in there specifically to destroy that. And this I do know about because I was close to the Tory party in central London at that time. And so I really do know the people that were behind that one. And she only ever expected one term. And then, hallelujah, Argentine's come up, Falklands come up, and she got a second term. But that was totally unexpected.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, Maggie had her place to play, but all she was just the same as the other players in this one, Zelsky or whatever his name is. You know, they're puppets playing their part for the globalist masters. And everybody else is either on one side or the other. Either you believe in free will, free speech, and living your life within the law without the minimum of interruption by the government, or you believe in totalitarian control. And the last 2 years, as I've said 2 years ago, was just conditioning to get people to see how supplicant and compliant they could be. And I know you've got a news break coming up, so I better get off.
John, thank you very much. Timed absolutely perfectly, John Harper. Thank you for your Tuppenceworth.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right, I just want to read some of the comments and then we're going to move on to another subject. So just quickly, and thanks for all the comments thus far. It's easy. I was saying why we've suddenly got a bunch of experts on grain and Peter's come back, another Peter saying it's easy to look up in seconds. That's why you get so much rubbish from people like Ricard and me, Richard, but that's a nice Freudian slip. The Whisperer from the Twilight Zone. Always good for a laugh. Thank you. And John Harper. The Whisperer from the Twilight Zone. I like that. Also, okay. Too many viewpoints these days are formed from ubiquitous access in the Western world, at least, to the internet. You can find in every view in existence thereon. People aren't taught and don't learn how to think critically. I spent 11 years through the 70s as a merchant seaman. 11 years through the 70s as a merchant seaman. I've been all over the world and met and talked to people of many nations. I consider myself fortunate to see the real world, but that world no longer exists. Today's world has been created by social manipulation by the internet. I have a more optimistic view than John, who I know well, but can absolutely make room for the idea that he might be right. Personally, I don't think he is. Another one saying there are plenty of other alternatives. It's not just a choice of two. No, merchant seaman is not a euphemism. Thank you very much. Right, we're going to move on from this. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we've got 25 minutes or so, but I wanted to speak with you. I want to get your viewpoints on this. Supreme Court in the States ruling, a Supreme Court voting to overturn abortion rights. This is a draft opinion that came out a little early in the month.
We held that Roe and Casey must be overruled. Justice Alito wrote an initial majority draft circulated inside the court. This was obtained by Politico. The draft opinion is a full-throated, unflinching repudiation of the 1973 landmark decision, which guaranteed federal constitution protection of abortion rights, and a substitutional 1992 decision, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that largely maintained the right. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start, Alito has written, and he writes that Roe and Casey must be overturned. It's time to heed the constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. Rosalind.
Okay, well, I mean, this was quite a shock to many women, although it shouldn't be a surprise, because this is how Trump got elected, really, by first of all appeasing the extreme fundamentalist Christian group in the States, and that's how he got the support. And then he was able, through unethical means, to bring in three of the judges in the court. So we knew they were extreme right wing, and that this would happen. And it's just a shocking disgrace.
And
you can't bring up the Constitution. Women are not mentioned in the Constitution.
Right. I mean, a lot of people are saying this won't stop women terminating pregnancies, having abortions. This will purely drive underground, and the people who are going to suffer most from these, as they always been, will be minorities, the poor, etc. And it's going to become a health issue as well.
Absolutely, it's the poor and it's women. I mean, there's two people that make a baby. I don't have to state the blooming obvious.
Yes, and we're back to love and lust again, aren't we? So therefore, I mean, it's one that has obviously created divisive lines across the US. You know, with both pro-life, the pro-life lobby saying this is going to, you know, this is a landmark decision for us.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, it's a huge step backwards.
Three Democratic appointed justices, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, are working on one or more dissents. This is according to some of the reports in how Chief Justice John Roberts will ultimately vote, and whether he will join an already written opinion or draft his own is unclear. But it's an interesting situation with, to the extent this is a betrayal of the confidence of the court and was not intended to undermine the integrity of our operations. It will not succeed. The work of the court will not be affected in any way. And it doesn't, this opinion of Peer, which Politico got, does not represent a decision by the court or a final position of any issues in the case. But it's an interesting one as well. A George W. Bush appointee, Alito, argues that the 73 abortion rights ruling was an ill-conceived and deeply flawed decision that invented a right mentioned nowhere in the Constitution and unwisely sought to wrench the contentious issue away from political branches of government. We're going live to the lines. Morning, Corley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costabranca.
Yes, Kate.
There are two opposing views, one of which I hold and the other one I don't. There is the view that abortion is murder, which St. Thomas Aquinas, erudite and learned medieval theologian of the Roman Catholic Church, did not hold.
Right.
I could go into details, but you haven't got the time now. But the other point of view is that every child is a wanted child, which puts the onus on the question, on a different ballgame. And I grew up dead scared I was going to be pregnant, like a lot of my fellow teenage friends.
Yeah.
And I even got a discount from the firm that I sent away samples to who said, look, you know, you sent us enough and we don't think we need to charge you this time. This is, it is a peculiar problem that the male can't appreciate properly, because it staggeringly will change your whole life if you get pregnant and you weren't intending to and you didn't want to and there weren't circumstances when you can. So basically, the way that the American system was before this latest change was an incredibly intelligent line. There was a... anyway, yeah. So basically, it's a whacking great back. It will be a backward step.
Thank you very much for the call in there. Yeah, Roe versus Wade. Thank you very much for that one as well, because the Casey thing is an addendum, I think, to the original case. So it's Roe versus Wade. But it has, once again, this is going to be a contentious issue that splits the states right down the middle, Ros.
Well, except that women, that the majority, a huge majority of the women, absolutely feel it's a huge step backwards. And it's going to affect the whole life. It's going to affect birth control as well. It's going to affect women in every part of their life. It's disastrous. I mean, I had so many friends, girlfriends, who had so much potential and they had to drop out of university because they got pregnant and got married to somebody who probably they wouldn't have married otherwise. It's just a big mistake. And how can people quote the Constitution when women aren't even mentioned in the Constitution?
952-78-4000. Going to go to a short break and then back for the final quarter of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Straight to the phones. Morning call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's the Midnight Whisperer again.
Oh, after the Twilight Zone Whisperer, yes.
Twilight, obviously it's supposed to be derogatory, but hey, I can't help it. I'm born with this voice.
I kind of like that image of you, John, you know, in the shadow.
60 years of brandy and smoking has given me this voice. I'm not going to throw it away just now. Right, back to a little point that we're talking here. Okay, I take Rosalind's point and I take Kate's point because I was there in those times as well. And I remember in 1960, when I was about 18, just about 19, realizing that the girls that I were coming across now all had the pill. And the pill wasn't 100%, but it was 98%. And it did actually caused the problem, because therefore inadvertent sexual behavior just became something which was quite normal in the late 60s, early 70s. And out of that comes this abortion program that Sanger set up, which is actually part of the eugenics program. Again, something I was talking on 2 years ago, the eugenics program to remove the population of the world. And so far, they've been doing very successfully removing 85% of the children aborted are black. Nothing racist about that, I suppose. No, it's because black women are underprivileged and they have to single-parent families and all the rest of it. It's all due to racism. No, it's not. It's due to the fact that was part of Margaret Sanger's actual statement that we should do this on the blacks because otherwise their numbers would be too big for us. So it's another elitist dream to destroy, right, to destroy as many people as possible. What are the countries saying now, ever since? Oh, well, we have to actually get more immigration because we've not got enough population. England has now sunk down to a population level where it will not recover from. So is Spain.
Well, it's the whole of Europe isn't it? That's just the demographics of the whole of Europe. We've been a graying. We were writing about this 30 years ago. The war is there.
So what we have done with our liberalism, with our lefty ideas, with our let's actually give women a chance, that we've just actually destroyed the European subcontinent for white Anglo-Saxon people, basically. Right. That's really, and that's the wrong way, not Anglo-Saxon,
I can hear a lot of people south of the Pyrenees gnashing their teeth from where I'm sitting at the moment, John.
Well, then the European people who have listened to this stuff and observed it and have gone along with it and just let it happen, congratulations, our society is now destroyed. I've fulfilled my 2.2 children that I've got to have. I've got my grandchildren out there. I've done everything I can to actually continue the species. I'm not talking about the Harper species because a lot of people wouldn't want that.
There's a thought, exactly. The Harper species in the twilight.
Yeah,
the twilight
well, I
zone.
Actually was recommended as an abortion to my mum.
Okay, let's not even go there. Okay, John, thank you very much for the call in
take
there.
Care, mate.
Good to hear from you as always. The Twilight Whisperer himself. Pros.
Yeah, but it's also the Chinese. I mean, a lot of my students are educated. Fairly young Chinese women, and they're not having children. They're not getting married, and they're not having children. They want to work. They want to travel. They want their independence. So it's not just Europe. It's an international reaction.
Mm. Thanks for that. My view is simple, says one. If Roe is overturned, we'll have a pre-Civil War-like patchwork of laws where women will cross straight lines like slaves did, attempting to cross into free states. Overturning Roe is not winning the war, but winning a battle, and the battle has been enjoined. I do not believe that overturning Roe versus Wade, the Roe versus Wade, is truly a win for life, nor do I believe that the Republican politicians or anti-abortion activists cheering on this potential decision are really serious about saving lives. This one in, UK population has grown decade on decade. Thanks for allowing me a point of view. I confess I do like poking people with a pointed stick. Really, the Untergang of the white race. I'm going to have a gin and tonic after this statement. Thank you, Ryan, and then LOL. Thank you very much for that. If you want to get your tuppence in over the next 8 minutes or so of Viewpoint.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Don't forget, following me is Stephen Ritson today with Europe Today, and then this show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Some of the main stories going through. Priti Patel is to allow volunteer police officers in England and Wales to use tasers for the first time. At a conference held by the Police Federation, the Home Secretary is expected to say that special constables should be able to use the electric stun guns if they complete specific training, the special training that's required. Alistair, the International UK's policing expert, warned that arming volunteers is dangerous and will inevitably lead to more instances of misuse, serious harm and death from tasers. Meanwhile, the Bank of England, as I said before, has warned of an apocalyptic global food price rises and admitted he's helpless in the face of surging inflation. Andrew Bailey told MPs that he's run out of horsemen as prices rise at the fastest rate in three decades. Bailey added that Ukraine, one of the world's major food producers of wheat and cooking oil, was struggling to exploit food during the conflict. That's not just for this country, but the developing world. Fighters, hundreds of Ukrainian fighters who'd been trapped for more than 2 months in Mariupol's Azovstal steelworks have now been evacuated. 53 badly wounded soldiers were taken to the town of Novoskok, held by Russian-backed rebels, and another 211 were evacuated to Olenivka, another rebel-held town. It's a significant. The evacuation is to mark the length of the longest and bloodiest battle of the Ukraine war, and is a significant defeat for Ukraine, said The Guardian. Meanwhile, Jake Daniels has become the first active professional footballer in the UK men's game to come out as publicly gay since Justin Fashanu in 1990. The Blackpool player said his announcement would allow him to feel free and confident. Meanwhile, the leaked extracts from a landmark review of Prevent said the government's counter-terrorism program has been too focused on right-wing extremism and should now crack down on Islamist extremism. The Guardian said a particularly provocative recommendation stated that individuals had been targeted for expressing mainstream right-wing views because the definition of neo-Nazism has expanded too widely, while the focus on Islamist extremism has been too narrow. Those are some of the major news stories this morning. Looking at some things coming in. This one coming in saying abortion is taken over from other forms of birth control as the preferred choice.
Okay. Not particularly. I wouldn't agree on that one, but hey, that's just my opinion, as the saying goes. Ross, footballers, the Blackpool player coming out as gay.
That's quite brave of him.
Yeah, I mean, especially in such a macho sports, football, you'd say.
And area of England, it's quite a...
Well, Blackpool.
Yeah.
Blackpool's a den of vice. What are you on about? Blackpool. Those eliminations, absolutely fabulous, darling. I mean, what can you say? No, but seriously, I mean, it's going to be Justin Fashion, who came out in the 90s, the black footballer, came out as gay, and was it Justin or was it John? I can't remember now. And I'm going to be shot down in flames for that one, because I'm not anyway. I think it was... Anyway, somebody will call me in and let me know which fashion it was. But he had particularly... His story was particularly bittersweet. He committed suicide several years
really?
Later.
Yeah, but of course that was 1990s, in the 90s, exactly. Maybe. Still, it's very brave of him. It's brave.
But it's, it does mark though. We have, the footballers should be able to say, and be who they are, surely, as an inclusive society. It is one of the.
Except, is it anybody's business?
Is it anybody's? No, it's nobody's business.
I mean, should it be necessary for them to say anything at all?
Indeed, that's what I was thinking. Is it Justin Fashioner or John Fashioner? I'm just trying to look it up to find out which particular one. Anyway, we're getting Life to the Lion, Saved by the Bell. Morning, Coolie, I'll have on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, morning, everybody. Morning, Rob. I agree with you this time. Sharon Alicante on abortion. These women will go to the back streets. They will stick needles up and abort babies in the most dangerous ways, far more dangerous than a proper abortion. They will do it. People are frightened. I would have more sympathy with the anti-abortionist argument if each one of those anti-abortionists would take on, adopt one of the unwanted children. Then I'd have a little bit more sympathy with their argument. But all we're doing at the moment is to try and control people's bodies. And as regarding the American right, they've got life is sacred. Well, they're quite happy to have very loose gun laws for people to go around shooting en masse, which has happened recently 2 or 3 times in America, a lovely country. So that's a contradiction in terms, in my view. People will go ahead and do the dangerous thing, whatever your moral arguments are about on this situation. Thanks, Sharon. Cheers.
Thanks very much for that, Sharon. No, I'm just being told it is Justin Fashanu, who came out over 30 years ago, committed a he tragically died as well. Justin Fashanu, yes, thank you for that. Indeed, 952-784-4000. If you want to get involved with today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And thank you for D for sending me a picture of his grandson, Odin, who lives in Norway and is happy there. I believe it's Gratulerer Med Dagen. Happy Norwegian Day. There you go.
Oh, good.
So there you go. So, Ross, any final thoughts? Because we're coming up to the... we've only got a couple of minutes left, so anything else that you want to bring up that's crossed your particular radar over the past week in terms of, apart...
Well, we've covered quite a lot. I was out picking up cigarette butts on Saturday with... with plastic-free seas. Well, very well. It's a truly humbling event to pick up your fellow human beings' cigarette butts, and I advise it to anybody to do this, doing your little bit. So I was there doing my little bit.
I mean, going back to that plastic thing, I mean, we haven't talked about plastics in the environment for ages, mm-hmm. but still, it's good to see people out there.
Children, mainly children, yeah. A lot of children.
Still a lot of plastic waste out there. Still a lot of plastic waste out there, though.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But every little bit helps, and it's also very important educating the children. It's highly organised with this Plastic Free Seas International, and they do it through the schools now. And so, you are educating the young people, and that's great. But everybody, I really recommend that you do this, because also when people see you picking up up things, it helps them to remember not to throw things on the beach.
Well, there you go.
And everywhere else.
And everywhere else, I was going to say, yes. Pick your litter up, people. Right then. If anyone wants to get a final word in here, then get in contact with via 952-784-000. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34645 996795. Going back to some of the... if pregnancy is God's will, so is erectile dysfunction. So let's outlaw Viagra. Thank you very much for that one. Very good indeed. Just looking at some more points. No, that's it. Almost out of time. Right then, we are almost out of time. So thank you very much for your viewpoints. It has been a very loud and lively one, as always. We've covered quite a few bases, and I couldn't have done that without the calls of our listeners and the WhatsApps, of course, and the Facebook posts and whatever. But of course, excuse me. Famous last words. And of course, Roslyn Scott Gibb. Roslyn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Giles, for the opportunity to express my views and share my thoughts with our listeners.
And I was going to say something about food banks, but I probably won't, and heating bills and whatever. So, but it's always been.
And making soup. Making soup.
And indeed, and as somebody's just said, somebody's just quoted me, Hall & Oates, you're out of touch, I'm out of time, but I'm out of my head when we are around, to be honest with you. But that's just a viewpoint. I think we should redo that. Thanks very much for the Hall & Oates. Thank you to Roslyn Scott Gibb.
Thank you, Giles.
And I'll be back with Let's Talk tomorrow. This programme will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.